You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Creator, and millions of years of evolution have combined to turn us into the very pinnacle of creation. Creation is full of so many wonderful things, both animate and inanimate, but certainly there is no one who could argue that human beings are the perfection of God's creative power. And there are so many wonderful things about us, both physical and mental and spiritual. I want to remark this morning on our five senses, and then zero in on one of them in particular. God has given us, as we traditionally say, five senses, which are kind of like our antennae to pick up signals from all the rest of the universe, and also the ways that we use to communicate with the rest of the universe. Our five senses, we all know them by now, our sight with our eyes, hearing with our ears, and then the three we often forget about, taste, smell, and touch. All five of them are wonderful parts of God's creation that combined to give us all kind of impressions and signals in which we use to express ourselves as well. Here in the Western Hemisphere and in our modern society, we probably rely on vision more than the other four senses. We live in a visual age of all kind of signs and symbols, and unless we are suffering from failing eyesight, we tend to be people of the book. We tend to look and see what our eyes can take in before we even consult the other four senses. And that's okay, I guess, as long as we realize that through most of human history, most people could not read and write, and they had to rely on hearing especially and their other senses. The wonderful thing about these five senses is that when one shuts down or is overloaded, the others kick in and take their place. In my prison ministry, I notice this all the time, especially when I go into those dark parts of prisons that we call solitary confinement. Prisoners are in dark, gray areas, and if they're in there long enough, pretty soon their eyesight doesn't work very well anymore, but their hearing becomes very sharp. It kicks in and replaces eyes. They can tell sometimes by the sound of the footsteps who's coming up the cell block. And their hearing gets very sharp, and after so many years in solitary confinement, vision is not very reliable. But that's the nature of the way it is. We are so wonderful that when one fails or gets overloaded, something else kicks in so that we can still get impressions and make impressions. This is true not only of human beings, of course, but it is true of animals as well. And you can see where I'm going with this, since this is Good Shepherd Sunday. We're going to talk about sheep here in a second. Most of you probably know, whether you're farming or you have pets at home, that animals also have very acute senses. Most of them tend to have rather poor eyesight, but their ears are very good. And that's quite obviously why it should be. Except for some of the more advanced animals, Did you ever notice that most animals have eyes on the sides of their head? And so they can't have binocular coordination, make a combined image. And so vision is compromised. Their ears, which are usually on the top of their head and close together, perk up as soon as any kind of a sound happens. Puppies and kittens and all the other critters of God all have pretty good hearing for the most part. And this is certainly true of sheep. One of Jesus' favorite images of describing the church. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And as he said in this very short gospel reading, my sheep hear my voice. It was the custom at the time of Jesus that after the shepherds would have the sheep all grazing all day long, they would put them into a common enclosure overnight. That way you could have only one or two people do the guard duty and the shepherds could get some sleep. But then in the morning, when it came time to go out into the pastures again, the shepherds would come one by one to the gate of that enclosure, which was called the sheepfold, and sing a song or call out something, and the little ears went up on all the little sheep and lambs, and they knew who to follow. They knew the voice. They couldn't pick them out by their eyes, but they knew the sound of the shepherd who was to lead them. And Jesus thought that this was a wonderful image of the church, that when he calls and speaks, we, his sheep, his followers, know his voice, we hear it, and we follow him. It's also useful to recall, as I said, that through most of history, most people couldn't read anyway if you gave them a book. And printing wasn't even invented for another 1,500 years or so. And so in the early days of the church, the gospel was spread by word of mouth. We heard that in the first reading in the Acts of the Apostles, how the apostles went from town to town, stirred up a lot of persecution and trouble, but some people accepted it. They heard the word with their ears, and they rejoiced, and the apostles, that's the way the church got started. It was an oral proclamation, and people heard it with their ears, and the gospel was spoken with their mouths. Reading and writing didn't come till many, many centuries later, for the most part. So I think it's kind of useful for us to know that history, because we, here in the 21st century, we somehow think with all of our books and our TV screens and iPads and all, I don't even know the names of all those little things that you scroll, you move them around with your finger. That's all new stuff. Back in the time of the Bible, they had no concept of that whatsoever. And so I can't help but get in a little bit of word here for the oral proclamation, which still has a place in the church. I realize that we have books and missalettes all over the place in the church right now. But you know, people who get up and read the scriptures, they are trained to do that. And if they read well, we should hear it with our ears, not have our snoots pushed into some book while somebody's up here reading and preaching. And I often joke a little bit facetiously that there is a reserved seat in purgatory for whoever invented missalettes. I promise you that. They serve a purpose, but for God's sake, don't let this get in the way between you and the spoken word and hearing it with your ears. Just because we are a vision culture, we need to rely at least on the other senses as well, especially the sense of hearing. So let's draw a couple lessons here before we get on with the celebration of Easter again. And I always like to start at the natural level before we even get to something spiritual. For God's sake, let's realize what a precious gift we have in the world of sound. We live in an age of noise pollution, to put it quite bluntly. Coming down here yesterday afternoon on I-255 and the side roads and whatnot, I got behind about 8 or 10 motorcycles. Now, I'm trying to be sympathetic to people who think that's a jolly thing to do. But quite frankly, all that I regard as offensive, along with all the other things. When somebody drives up next to me at a red light and thinks that I want to hear his or her radio station. Boom, 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 boom. And there's so many places in the world where we are just bombarded with noise. That's the reason I can't possibly go to a casino. I don't know what people see in that. As soon as you walk in, there's bells and ding-a-lings going on just constantly. I would go stark raving mad after 20 minutes of it. But people could sit there throwing their quarters into these machines for hours. I don't know how they do that. And on it goes. You go to the ballpark, go to the places where we shop, what do they call those things, shopping centers and stuff. It's just constant noise. The advertisers know this, and they overwhelm us, and research has certainly showed if you listen to too much loud noise, I don't care if it's a motorcycle or a rock music station, pretty soon your ears are going to shut down and your other senses are going to have to take over. That's terrible, because sound is such a precious, delicate, beautiful gift that God has given us. So that's my first lesson today. It's not even spiritual. For God's sake, let's just be charitable and considerate of people. And don't do your part to add to the noise in our culture. We've got plenty already, thank you very much. We might even try to rediscover silence. God help us, some people freak out when everything is quiet. No elevator music, no explosions going off. Scary. It's a wonderful thing, even music has rests, and the silence parts are just as important as the tones and the sounds that are made. So we need to treasure the gift of sound, realize it is one of God's great gifts to us. It's a way of revelation first was revealed to us, and we need to continue to appreciate it. So for heaven's sake, make sure where you are in control, where you have the little button called volume, that you can control the decibel level in your environment, in your homes, your workplaces, here in church, if possible. Manage the environment so that it is beautiful. And when you get tired of all these artificial sounds that we can make with our amplifiers and all these wired up things that are over here, go out and listen to the birds sing. There are some wonderful sounds even in nature if you get your ears perked up and tune them in. And realize that it is still, after all the printing and all that is done, it is still by oral proclamation that many people are brought to hear the word of the Lord, here and hereafter. That second reading we had this morning in the book of Revelation gives us a little hint that when we get to heaven, I'm sorry to say, it's not going to be eternal rest. There's going to be some noise up there. It's beautiful sounds, praising God, and it will be at the right level, and it will delight us for all eternity. So, sound is God's gift to us naturally and supernaturally. If I could sing better, I was going to get up here and wind up with Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But we'll leave that to the music department over here to make sure that we have good sounds in our liturgy and in our hearts. May God bless us this Easter, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.